Pickaxe.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Hello, my friend. My name's Sean, and I want to end your suffering. No, not like that. With meditation in my new podcast, Mindfulness for Gamers. Each episode, I'll take you through how mindfulness can help you to feel less anxious and frustrated and put you on a path of happiness, all through the lovely, grimy lens of video games. So make time to level up your mental health and take the first step on your spiritual skill tree. Join me and subscribe to Mindfulness for Gamers right here, right now.
Perfect. Oh, what a great intro. Thank you. And welcome to the Headchat Podcast. Episode 91. Introducing us with October Stan's wonderful finger. Fingal. Thanks, October Fingo Stan.
Star. Jesus Christ.
I'm Chris Trott.
Hi, Chris Trott. I'm Ross Hornby.
And I'm Alex Smith. And do you think we'll make it to 91?
God.
Would you like to? Would you be satisfied?
I'd like to if it,
yeah,
like,
if I'm not if that was debilitated by something, yeah.
Yeah. If I was a 91-year-old that acted like a 71-year-old, you know?
Right, okay.
I still got my faculties and I can still move around and stuff. I've seen some 70-year-olds being actually quite active and sound of mind. So
I think my nan's 86, so she's still pretty, like, she's...
pretty good.
Sound of mind. She's, yeah. She had a hip replaced, but she can walk still, so that's all good.
Since they just stick and a new one in, don't they?
Yeah, just shove a new one in. It's like,
it's like getting the bushings done.
Change the tire.
The surgery itself is so invasive, though.
It is. Yeah.
You're like, like you've been cut up like cattle for beef. Yeah.
But they do loads of them, so they get really good results normally as well.
Yeah, they put all the old people on a conveyor belt, and then they just got loads of saws and stuff all automated. It's all,
I'd
like to be at that sound of mind. I think she's doing good. Yeah. So that's,
Well, because episode 91, obviously, I was like, wow, that's quite.
Oh,
because
I see.
I've been thinking about this, and I've been thinking about like
aging.
Yeah, and just like how, like, you know, how to best live to try and live a long time, because I, you know, I like being alive. And yeah, my gran's doing great. Both my grandparent, my nan and my grandma are both still alive. Obviously, the two men in my line aren't, so it doesn't look good for old Al Smithy.
I think that's quite a common statistic, isn't it?
Yeah, women tend to outlive men.
My last grandparent died in 2006, I think. 2007.
Oh, right, really? Yeah, you don't stand much chance.
I don't have much chance of getting to 91. 84.
84. Yeah,
that's what you're going for.
Yeah.
I mean, you'll be done 84. By that point. They won't you chart. You'll be like, all right, yeah. Go out to your decking one last time.
Get the shotgun.
He's on the latest iteration of whatever Steam Deck there is.
Yeah. There's a lot of news around like regenerative cells therapy and all this sort of stuff coming along now.
That's been going on for decades.
It has.
Are you hoping that they'll be able to completely master it by the time you're an age that you can use it?
I mean, things like hip replacements might not be as necessary if we can, you know, regrow like cartilage and all the stuff that like they end up losing around the hip. Because, I mean, ultimately, a lot of hip replacements, not all of them, but a lot of these kind of surgeries, the reason that so many of them are performed, like my dad had a heart operation, very common, is because people are living longer. And we're living very decadent lives as well. So those things will start to change again. It'll be like when you look back 200 years ago, what was a really common surgery then? Having all your teeth replaced with wood, you know? Wood teeth.
Of course.
Well, I guess I watched a little video of that Elon Musk. I said Neon. where the implants in the brain and just like how that works is just so impressive. The technology that you have of that is yeah. I mean, they like said it's going to take many years before they get like really far with it, but obviously like it's impressive at that stage that it's happening now. Yeah, it's on monkeys. Well, they were
poor bastards.
Weren't they just controlling? There's a little video of one of them playing Pong with his mind, and I was like, oh, that's so cool. Like that's like impressive. And then so they're the human trial where they were typing on a keyboard with their mind.
Wow.
It's like how
human trial.
That's amazing. Yeah, this was on it. Well, I don't know if it was a trial, but they were a human was using.
They volunteered.
It, yeah. And they it's because they were just.
How are they getting around the legal loopholes of like?
Well, you can still do like deep brain stimulation and things like that. Like the one with the human trial might have been something to do with like you can already there are already surgeries and processes in place to do that to sort of interact with the brain in certain ways. Whether or not it's to the same level that would be required for like you know a full chip in the head, but they can certainly sort of do some implanting in the brain.
Is typing possible? Like, well, my brain is such a mess.
I think they're using
of,
a
like,
cursor, right? So, and the way that this explained moving. It was basically they were mapping how someone was. So they were mapping what someone was thinking whilst they were seeing the waveform signals from each action someone was taking when they were thinking about it, and they were kind of trying to basically pair that up with an action on screen, right?
Yeah,
and then once. That's all figured out. They then put it into
it's
action.
It's like mapping a controller.
Yeah.
In a way, basically. Yeah, literally. And that's what they're trying to utilize, I guess. Using your brain as a controller would be amazing interface to a digital product. Yeah. That would be so cool.
I think a lot of the challenge, like Trot was saying, is like your brain's always pinging around doing all sorts of things. A lot of the challenge is to like isolate the signals that are required as well for the input. So, there'll be a wave that will be associated with telling your arm to move the mouse right or whatever, and then that could be something that...
I don't know if you have those, like, invasive sabotaging thoughts sometimes of, like, where, like, I need to concentrate on this and make sure I don't think of anything else. But, you can always think of this!
It's like, when you're driving really fast down a motorway and then suddenly you're like, what if I just full right-handed this right now?
God.
Like, not that you want to, like, not that I wanted to, but it's just one of those things like, God, I could really fucking cause some chaos. Yeah.
I've but
like, if you thought about
thoughts.
It accidentally where you're trying to control it and then you're like, fuck, I didn't mean
it's
to.
It's a survival
I used to think about doing that all the time and I've just stopped doing that. Like having those thoughts, you know, of just fuck, I am a moment away from like causing absolute chaos here. Yeah. Like,
it's normally when I'm using power tools or something dangerous. It's like, this could really go wrong.
So you're picturing every possible bad scenario so that you can survive the scenario.
You're worried that you might accidentally just want to do it as well, though. Try.
There is a
little switch. Yeah. Well, what if I did though?
Call of the Void is a great way to describe
Call of
it.
The Void,
yeah, where you're just like you're looking over the edge of the abyss, and you're like, "Fuck, I could just
what if though?
Just throw my because it's almost like a demonstration of absolute agency, isn't it? It's almost like
doing the
a
thing
desire.
That you least want to do. But I guess that's skydiving is almost like that. But obviously, if you haven't done it before, then it's like, oh shit, like,
living as close to that edge as possible.
I don't have to jump. I can. And it's like,
should I stick my dick in the car cigarette lighter? Should
I? Not a question. It's not a question.
Mistake.
But going back to the original question. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if there were advances in technology and medicine that allow me to be a functioning member of society at 91, sure. Mm-hmm. If I'm just a real drain on society and I'm no longer with it and I've got people and machines just keeping me alive and I'm just shitting myself all the time and I've got someone just getting the mop out and just cleaning it up.
Wait, this is at the moment, right? This is your Tuesday. Yeah.
And just again, like, it's happening now, so I'm gonna be a real mess at 91. But just unplug me at that point.
I guess the
I'm
reality of that situation is, do you even have the agency to say that? That's the worst part.
True.
What that's morbid. That's very morbid thinking.
Kept alive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't kill me every time. And I'm very aggressive.
Yeah, well, I'd have to try and ambush you with a large vehicle, I imagine. I'd just like wait until you walk down to the shops and then just mount the curb.
We'll just attach your head onto whoever has the healthiest body. And eventually it'll just be all three heads on one, the most supreme body that survived to that point.
Would you do that if it's a 3-for-1? If three of us could go onto a single body, but it would guarantee us an extra 300 years of life.
Oh,
fucking hell.
I mean, imagine that. Like a three-headed man will make a lot of money. I think that's a circus trick that's beyond. And also,
you also have like just an absolutely nightmarish mental health.
Oh God, yeah. Like I mean, the first time we touch ourselves would be very weird.
Well, who's doing that?
Who's doing
that?
I'm not doing that. That's not me. It's nice though.
God damn, that's weird. But again, it might be a reality we have to face, so it's good to discuss it now in case we do have to share a body.
I mean, well, it's going to get more and more expensive, all of these amazing treatments, isn't it? Like all of these, as things get more incredible like that, which eventually, hopefully they will. Yeah, the cost requirement behind it might drive us to have to make some compromises.
However,
like, body share.
Looking at the council's budget spend of the year, the majority of it goes to catering to the elderly.
Yeah.
But at least in this area, the vast majority, not like police, not fire support, not ambulance. It's just getting prescriptions to elderly, so allowing them to like have hospital beds and all that kind of crap. Care homes.
Yeah.
A lot of budget goes to them. So I think it might be almost a need at a certain point rather than a luxury to like, if we can have this really old society actually be able-bodied and physical again and mentally able to contribute, it won't be such a drain financially, and it might actually be a more thriving economy, I guess, and society.
Yeah, I mean, if you're at that point, though, you might as well eliminate the need for money and just do... Yeah, it's capitalism for the elderly. You're essentially just making people work longer.
I'm not saying...
How do we get these old people back out there?
it's definitely... I can see that train of thought how a capitalist society could, like, oh, we could actually monetize old people
absolutely.
Again.
Yeah, yeah. Or just burn their bodies in a huge pyre and generate heat to power the rest of the city. Yeah. Another option. Yeah, no, hopefully we'll get past the need for that to happen. But yeah,
you're cremating them
anyway. Exactly what taxes and that's exactly what things like that should be used for, though, is to like look after the people in who've contributed to a society at some point. I mean, if they haven't, I don't really blame them. There's too many factors outside of your own choices to say that people who don't contribute shouldn't be helped. I think we'd all kind of agree with that. But that is how it should work in theory. Is like, yeah, they've contributed, and now they need to be looked after, just like you would in a tribal setting. I was watching a thing about orangutans yesterday. You know that 4 million years ago, orangutans used to live in troops, like gorillas do, because they're very social creatures. Most intelligent creatures are social. And so that's because together they're smart and can achieve things without the same physical size.
Together strong.
Exactly, together strong. I mean, we keep coming back to it, but it is very important. But basically, orangutans are now solitary monkeys because, great apes rather, not monkeys, because 4 million years ago, their foods stopped fruiting constantly and became seasonal, and that couldn't support large concentrations of orangutans. So they think that they became solitary, but they still do this behavior where they howl out into the jungle across the forest just to say hello to their mates, to other orangutans, just to, and they'll like
God,
howl
that's
back
quite
and
sad.
Stuff. It is quite sad. But yeah, it's
we can't all have this fruit anymore.
Oh mate, remember when we used to have fruit party
for all of us? Have you found any fruit this week? No.
Yeah. Well, that's actually worse than last week. Oh God.
Yeah. No, it seems to be just like it's cold, isn't it? Yeah. They're just working out what winter is. All the other monkeys are like, these guys are meant to be great apes. But yeah, no, it was just animal documentaries on Netflix. Andy Serkis was fucking narrating it as well.
Of course he was. Yeah, he knows monkeys like anyone.
Circus, yeah. I guess he probably has done quite a lot of studying.
Yeah.
He was King Kong, wasn't he, as well? So he had to like, I remember they did a little mini doc of him exploring, like kind of learning about gorillas and how they move and act and behavioral traits and stuff. So
all like the face touching and the...
Yeah, just little...
And obviously when they do this and scratch their head.
All the time.
Yeah.
And itch their armpit at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you seen them play PlayStation? Because honestly, they're really good, and it just takes their minds. They just need a little chip
with
in the
their minds. Yeah, yeah, with their minds.
Have you actually seen that? Is that
no? I was playing Pong. It wasn't PlayStation. It was Pong, and it was controlling.
Because I've seen he's a basically
just watching
play
a screen,
Pong.
And he was moving little paddles back and forth. So yeah. Cool.
I saw a pig play Pong for treats about 20 years ago on a VHS tape.
Oh, shit, really?
I don't think it was...
And he didn't need an implant.
No,
so they used a little joystick. They used their mouth.
Yeah, they had a joystick. And they were like, bum, 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 and they realized that getting the Pong thing and hitting it to the other side gave them a treat. So they actively were doing it.
It's a reward system.
And coordinating.
Wow. Those piggies are smart. Shouldn't
piggies
be eating
are
them.
Smart.
Stop eating them
shouldn't
piggies.
Eat pigs. Yeah, I had okonomiyaki the other day. I made a nice pork okonomiyaki, very tasty.
What's that?
Really the other day as well, though. Too good.
Basically, pork with
how do you spell it?
You have spinach and cabbage. Yeah. You cut it all up, and you pour egg into it and some flour, and you make
you
a.
You haven't got
a
me
big,
so far.
You make a big pancake, flour, seasoned pancake. You put that in a frying pan, and you make that like a big pancake that you have to flip with a plate because it's so like
it's like a frittata.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Did you caramelize it? This one?
I didn't caramelize.
How many Werther's? How many Werther's?
Not bulletproof.
No, right. Okay.
No Werther's. And then you get some pork, and then you season that, of course, and then you make up your own little sauce, which is got honey, paprika, soy sauce. And it was a real feast. It was great. I cooked that.
That sounds good. What did you use for that? Is it a HelloFresh thing? Or did you find a recipe?
No, I absolutely had a package delivered that had all the right ingredients, and
that's
I
good.
Had to cook it following a recipe. But
today, this isn't
I'm getting all these books just... now, which means I can just go out and buy all the ingredients myself now, knowing how it's made.
Exactly. You're just learning all the different little combinations, and then you turn that into...
Yeah, it's just getting me...
methodology
skills,
of cooking.
Yeah, I'm always lazy with making sauces. I resort to the, jar of
sauces aren't that
more
hard,
often.
To be honest.
I know, and they're not. It's just one of those lazy things where it's just like, well, I could just use this one in a jar that's cost 50p.
I find getting good like curry sauces a bit difficult. Like, if you're making a curry sauce from scratch, I'm not as good usually. But like some stuff like pasta sauces, it's like onions, it's garlic, and tomato, passata. Yeah.
Very straightforward.
Look at us being, being insensitive. Yeah. Come on, the orangutans barely get fruit a season. And here we are talking about the nuances of sauce.
And then another orangutan just yells across the forest, just boil some fucking pasta! the first hypothetical we actually were given...
Thank you, patrons.
If you could be born... Thank you, patrons. Thank you again for backing this podcast as you do. We really appreciate it. There's a lot of support there. And depending on the length of the finger at the end, you will also see your name shown on the recording and on the live stream of this.
It's a long one this week, so you've got plenty of time to read it.
You suck it in with your eyes. So the first Patreon chosen hypothetical for us to talk about was, what if you could be born again in any country? Which country would you choose? So if you could be born again in any country, which country would you choose?
I guess there's a lot to consider here. Number one. Sure.
I'm terrified of extreme weather in like the nicest.
What you mean, like
weather-based places? I'm terrified of like hurricanes and earthquakes and typhoons, just slamming and destroying everything I possess. But it's all in the nice places, the tropical places, unfortunately. So
I'm going to go ahead and say Italy.
Oh, interesting.
Just
because
it's nice. Well, it depends on where you go, I guess. Maybe Lake Como area. Really fucking nice.
Yeah.
So good weather, incredible food. I think I'd be a big boy.
I love Italian food as well.
It's so good. Like
just pizza and lasagna everywhere.
Love it. Yeah, just love it. And most of the Italians I've met have been really nice people. And so it's just like maybe that could be. And I actually really like the sound of the language. I think it sounds really cool. I like the sound, the way it flows. So I think that would be quite a nice trade up. I think
you could go south of Napoli, Naples as well.
Naples
gets really rural and picturesque.
What, just a club in Naples called Nipples?
That area is really nice. I've been there.
Yeah.
It's just picture. You get the choice in Italy, I think. If you like, if you want to go to a city and have the city life, you got some real good options. And then if you want to go like real rural with some local cuisine that haven't moved in like generations, then you can just go south and have some real nice picturesque views in the, as well.
Yeah, it just also seems hot, like quite though, like it really does get hot, but it also seems like quite a kind of a peaceful life from what I've seen. I've never been to Italy though. I really want to go to Italy. It's one place I want to go to. Yeah, I know you two have.
No, yeah.
How did you find it when you were there?
Yeah, it's really nice. Recommend? Yeah, it's a very varied country. Very, yeah. That's why I was surprised when you said not been. I was like, yeah, no, it does sound, really sound a bit like Italy. I think obviously the relaxed lifestyle or the approach to life would vary depending on where you are. Again, obviously, of course, yeah. I did find it quite frustrating, the Italian approach to things when trying to use the trains in Italy.
Oh, okay.
There is not exactly a feeling of speed or urgency in Italy, and that is nice, but equally when you're trying to get somewhere or get something done, it can be a little frustrating. Obviously I'm a
also
bit
also the roads
I think that'll be that's the difference between going to Italy and being born in Italy probably. So yeah, like now obviously you would be frustrated. We're kind of used to getting everything we want like fairly quickly. It's going over there now, you're like, oh, come on, hurry up and get on with it.
Yeah, exactly. Like in England, we have like because we're a small country, everything can happen quite quickly. Like, you know, next day delivery and all that sort of stuff has become very common in the UK. Yeah, exactly. Like also stuff we take for granted, which isn't it's not amazing, but all of the online government stuff we have, that's still quite unusual for a lot of countries. For example, Germany is still very much paper based bureaucracy.
God, really? Germany?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So the UK. We have a lot of online services for just being a citizen, which is actually really quite good. I think, like, of all the places to be born, England definitely isn't a bad one. I think it'd be high up on my list anyway if we didn't have such an awful fucking government for the last 10 years. Like, it's only recently in the last 10 years that I've really felt like, Christ, if our country doesn't, if we re-elect the Conservatives in 2024, I genuinely might look for a different place to live, just over the, you know, just over the river, or maybe, you know, fuck if Scotland goes independent, you know, so stuff like that to look at would be great. But like, because I like England, we have a lot of potential, but unfortunately, our country is getting steered in all sorts of weird fucking places by different forces. So my answer would probably be, if I could try living in another country, would be either Canada or New Zealand.
Canada is a good one, yeah,
because they kind of represent a lot of the things that I like about England. You know, more social healthcare, more like they have cities, but more rural, you know, like something like only 17% of the UK is built upon. So like, you know, I like the big green, I mean, Canada as well just seems like an outdoor paradise and I quite enjoy outdoor sports.
Yeah. Canada's high up on my list.
It's good. It was a good day when we went.
I like the Scandinavian countries as well.
Yeah, they're just they get dark.
It does get bitterly cold.
It's that's the thing, yeah. Like, I was weighing up the climate.
But they're so far ahead in so many other ways. Like, healthcare is just amazing over there. And education, Finland in particular, I'd love to go there. Mm-hmm. Sweden, the Netherlands, Denmark. I'd pick any of those and I'd be happy there, to be honest.
Is it Norway where the prison system is really like relaxed as well? So you could be a criminal in Norway if you want, and that way you can still have a good life.
Yeah, it's. I think I agree. Like Norway is lovely. I've driven through Norway, through Denmark, through Sweden, and the only downside is literally some days there's between two and four hours of sunlight. And that's not even that far north, you know, like even if you're in southern Sweden, southern Norway, you are living a vitamin D deprived life. And I think that makes me a pretty sad boy.
It would be very sad. Do you think, I mean, I guess obviously you'd be used to it if you were born there, but knowing what, I mean, because obviously we could move to a sunnier country. It's bloody cloudy half the time in the UK.
Yeah.
And it's always kind of mild or rainy or cold. Yeah, but those sunny days,
UK,
those few, they're nice.
They are nice, like summer, like this, the summer just gone was really great because like there was so much green. Like it was crazy to get out and about and see like just exploding hedgerows and stuff. Like, yeah, genuinely, England can be beautiful. If we can just get our fucking ducks in a line and start working together, like towards a great future, then brilliant. But yeah, unfortunately, it's, yeah, being a bit fucked at the moment. But yeah, I think what you said Scandinavia, Ross, you said Italy. I think, yeah, for me, Canada would be the most likely first choice.
Someone said Australia would be quite good one, but like, I think again, the heat is, I mean, in my current state, doesn't bode well to me. I'm just terrible in the heat.
It's a beautiful
country. I would just be like melting all the time, but it looks, yeah, that would be, I want to visit Australia and New Zealand.
I also want to go there for the same government reasons as well.
Yeah.
As the UK, you got similar issues.
Yeah, Australia was a great project, but if we don't get climate change under control, Australia's going to become like pretty unlivable in our lifetimes, probably. It already can get, like last year, the wildfires in Australia, the temperatures are getting crazy. Australia also, I've been to Australia 4 or 5 times now. I've got family who live there. It's a great quality of life if you've got a decent job, and you don't need a degree to get a decent job, which I think is really good. You can be a tradesperson or something in Australia and earn a really decent wage and have a good life, which I think is awesome. A lot of people have, you know, like a decent sized house, a decent driveway. Like, you know, there's a lot of things in Australia to like if you can get on. But it is all kind of it feels to me, it's all kind of built on borrowed time, because a lot of the wealth is coming from building and mining. And eventually those two things might not last. I don't know. Like, I don't know. It feels lovely, but like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know about Australia. I don't know. Yeah. I don't think I'd move there personally, but
there are loads
I do
of
like
places
visiting.
In America I'd love to go, but as in love to live. But like, again, there's a lot of other factors that kind of weigh it down a bit.
Folks, welcome to Dungeons and Randomness. Since 2012, myself and an amazing cast of 18 have been telling stories in our homebrew world of Theria. 4 different groups explore lost ruins, run for political office, rage against a mad king, set sail to long forgotten islands, and so much more. Every group has a different story and flavor, and every season or arc has a new set of groups and stories, all building the history of our world with every single session. Literally hundreds of hours of stories are waiting for you as part of the Pickaxe Network. Check out Dungeons and Randomness wherever you get your podcasts, and we'll see you around the table.
Bizarrely, the gun culture is kind of an off-putting one. Even though it's not like, though we've been there and it's not necessarily, it's not in your face all the time, but like, that does play into your decision a little bit. But there are so many beautiful places. Like, we went to Oregon. It was so nice there. Man. Like, I could live there quite comfortably.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's these little towns and stuff that just are so kind of soulless and kind of like, when we went to San Antonio, God, and places like that where it's just, I just remember that. And it's just like, this place just has no, like, it has history, but it's so young that it's just like, yeah, that's where it wins out.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Genuine history, yeah.
We're spoiled with Europe and all of the amazing, well, we were until our fucking country voted to make it more difficult. To have that much history on the doorstep, I think you're right with America. Like, America as a country is incredible. It's an amazing place, and it has plenty of great people, but its culture is endemically a bit fucked. And you're right, like, if I lived in America, which I could live in America, definitely, but I would constantly be worried. I would probably try and carry a gun.
Realistically, I don't know if I would carry it around, but I definitely would probably have one in at home.
Yeah, because you'd
have
somewhere.
A glove box handgun,
and to have that in the back of your head.
Wow, in my car.
And if you had kids as well. Like, imagine sending your kids to school thinking that there's a reasonable chance that might happen. Like,
America is a big place. I imagine there are some places where jobs are much worse than others.
Yeah,
that kind
you can't
of thing.
Really.
So it's so vast. It's just like there are some really nice places out there. I imagine in Oregon you wouldn't have. I mean, I don't know. Say that I don't know all the gun crime rates over there, but it seemed. I felt safer there.
Yeah,
I did Oregon LA, that's for sure.
Probably because Oregon felt a little bit like home, like in terms of it's quite a rural sort of farmy state. It's not too hot, not too cold. Yeah. We were going through it during a very sunny few days. I seem to remember it was just like looking out the window of the RV and just being like, wow, this place is lovely.
Just the space was cool as well. Seeing sprawling land and like these houses had so much space. It's just, nice to see because we don't really have that. Even though we do have quite a lot of sprawling countryside, it's just the properties, even the farm properties and stuff are still fairly modest.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
it's it seems like they've really stretched like their legs in America. Yeah. Sectioning off owned farmland.
It doesn't feel like there's any space left. Like it feels like
but when you fly over it, it always looks very much countryside. Like
it's all owned by someone.
Well, exactly. Somewhere. 15, like I think it's like just under 20% is built on, but like 50% of it is farming, so it is used for something. It's just that we don't have the wilderness really. I mean, you go up to Scotland, you can probably find a bit, you probably lose signal in some bits of Wales, but we really don't have an English wilderness anymore, which is kind of sad. And that's why I'd love to live somewhere like Canada or New Zealand, where you can really get lost for a while and die of exposure, maybe get eaten by a bear.
That's the thing. Like England is so tame.
Dog sledding again.
Yeah,
you can go most like
dog poo.
Oh no, again.
You can go into the woods in anywhere in England and not worry about a bear or something venomous or poisonous attacking and killing you.
Yeah, yeah.
There's
no worry.
Hog attack.
You might get a hog.
Yeah,
yeah.
Shave it and jump in bed with it. Keep you warm. Free heating. Now, when I was camping in the Forest of Dean the other week, I was properly worried about where the hogs were, because you can just hear them. Just imagine being in a pen of snorting hogs in the dark, and you just
wait to find you.
And you're in a hammock, and you're hoping they just don't come along and start nuzzling your ass. And you're just like,
yeah. God. I think it would be really cool to see a bear, though. From a distance.
From a good distance.
In its natural habitat. Yeah.
What kind?
I was hoping for that when we were in the woods and stuff, that we would see an animal that could film it from a distance and stuff in a safe way. Just because that part is quite fascinating. But it's dangerous if you're too close. But that would be cool to know that you could see some interesting wildlife when you're out there rather than, oh, look, it's a deer.
Yeah, definitely.
It just seems so obscure to me. Like, playing games and stuff where there's just roaming packs of animals.
Yeah.
It just seems so, fake to me that the idea so far that beyond they're all just... they're just animals just walking around and you can see all the different kinds of them just out there existing. Like, you don't really get that in England. You see, obviously deer and
sometimes wild stuff. Horses. Do we see wild horses?
They're kind of wild.
They're
near the south.
When we were in America, we saw them. But there are some
America, didn't we? Yeah.
There are some ponies, wild ponies, living in the New Forest on Exmoor as well. But they're they're wild, but their actual range is probably only about 30 miles. You know, they run around on a reserve ultimately. So the next Patreon question: what if you woke up one morning in another country surrounded by people who spoke no English and with only the clothes you slept in? What would you do?
What? I panic first. Immediately panic. Try and wake up again, because that would be weird.
Do you like how each word is capitalized?
No, yeah. Yeah.
That is strange to read it like that. Yeah.
You've only got one set of something. Clothes. No one speaks English.
I would try and ascertain where I am. By, I don't know, geo-guessing it.
We've played GeoGuessr.
I know. We're terrible at that. I think I'm in Kent. Am I in Kent, guys?
You could
be. What language are you speaking?
It's like Kentish. Kent is a quantum Kentish. County. You're in Kent and not in Kent at all times.
All times, yeah.
Yeah.
So you figure out where you are.
I'm trying to figure out where I am.
You trying to get home, or are you trying to just live?
Well, I've got access. I try and figure out how to get to a phone, maybe, but I don't know any phone numbers off the top of my head of anyone important.
Mm-hmm. I only know my own number.
I know my own number. That's it. So I mean, I guess if I don't even have my phone,
you could call that and figure out if anyone picks up the other end, because you haven't got your phone on you. True. It's like. Yeah. That's where I remember
memorizing phone numbers. Do you remember doing that?
Yeah.
It's so funny how we all just stopped doing that.
We didn't need to. It's just there it is. It's in your phone. But the moment you're actually in hot water, I guess you just call the emergency services that you know, but if you're in a country you don't know, who are you calling?
112, isn't it? Is that international?
What, for any? Is that
international? It might just be European.
These are numbers we should be memorizing.
112 is one of them for Europe. If you're in France, Germany, if people, I mean, so we're presuming that we don't know what language you're even speaking, right?
No.
So let's say we've woken up in a small country somewhere in South America.
Okay.
Wow. And they don't hablo Espanol either. They're habloing something completely different.
Oh.
This is a bit of Venezuela that the Germans all escaped to after World War II. Right. So they're speaking a combination of Spanish and German, which they like to call Sperman.
Are these people that are around you, are they angry at you? Like, I mean, this opens up a lot of like questions because
you wake up fully clothed on a red dirt road, you know, like as if it's somebody's drawn like
The Hangover or something.
Yeah. And you just open your eyes, and then around you are people like selling fruit off of mopeds and things like that. So it's third-ish world,
and no one's trying to help me. I'm on the street.
No,
that's what how well, I'm actually, waking up, and people are just wandering past.
There's a monkey
me,
like trying I'm, to take like a phone not... out of your pocket. A little monkey.
Right. So my phone was in my pocket. Okay, that's good.
Yeah,
it's a good
dead.
Start.
Totally
it's dead. Of course,
it's right. dead, and the monkey course. Took it.
And asking these people for a charger seems almost offensive. Got a charger?
Well, you don't
charger is
you're
actually
holding like
the
a basket of fruits.
The word charger is actually offensive in their language as well. So every time you ask for a charger, you're basically telling them to go fuck themselves.
Yeah.
Charger?
There would be an easy panic. It would be like almost memento level of kind of like, what the hell happened to get me here? Like, I'd
retracing your steps.
Stuff out. Yeah. Because, that sounds like a fever dream that I don't,
What would you do, though? What would be your first port of call? Go to a shop, I suppose.
Trying to find some form of civilization to contact anyone that speaks the same language to start with. So I work in this country. I don't know where I am. Can you tell me? And then go from there, I guess. But
would you try busking for some money? Because you'd have no money, right?
It depends. If I couldn't even use a phone... Yeah, what am I busking?
What do you mean?
You mean just
well, not
begging.
Bus then, just
beg.
Yeah.
You start singing.
Yeah. I could start singing, yeah.
Sweet Carola. Just like loads of like...
Dad. And then a couple of people are like, this is a
toast. It's
what the fuck is he saying?
No.
It's all like just drunk singing songs.
From that, what I would do is go to a corner shop or something like that with a load of magazines and then take out loads of images from it.
To
start to piece together a visual language, which I can then.
But you don't have any money.
That seems
what I'm
elaborate.
Begging for.
It seems very elaborate to go to that stage I guess if you can't get hold of a phone, how else are you going to communicate?
And you can't communicate
through
with people. Yeah, like get loads of images from magazines or newspapers. So that I can be like, I'd have a picture of a house, and then like a question mark, and then a picture of a person. And there's an arrow pointing at myself, and then a picture of a globe, and then a big question mark. And then...
This is so complicated. I mean, the real questions, the answer to this would be much simpler, right? We'd go to, like, an embassy, a shop, anywhere, and be like, hi, I'm English. Yeah. Like, come on, look at... Like, I don't seem like I belong here, right?
This is,
I don't remember where I am or where I've come from.
Yeah, but we're trying... I mean, there's a better angle to make it funny, right? And so Chris Trott's created this visual language, right, out of things he's stolen from magazines.
It's not stolen. I begged for it.
So, but what
there's
you
no
to people,
phone in the vicinity. Even in these shops you're going, there's no phones that are working. So this is how you have to communicate. You have to communicate through images you've managed to cut out through magazines.
I'd find a British flag.
Or begged for money from
and me, I'd point at me so that I'd identify that I am English, and I don't speak your language, and then maybe like a bowl of fruit or something, just be like hungry, thirsty, glass of water, you know, and point these things at people, and hopefully there'll be a Samaritan out there that can help me,
and then
a bed, and then a condom underneath that.
Condom thing. What
this is how you,
it's on the table.
This is how you earn your way out of this hell. Chris dropped the gigolo. He's whoring himself.
He's holding a condom
day.
Up and just kind of like raising his eyebrows to strangers.
So anyway, I woke up in the middle of nowhere not remembering my name, so I instantly turned to whoring myself.
And
I am fine.
I'd find the nearest Apple box. I'd beg for cigarettes. and then trade that packet of cigarettes for an AK, because as we all know, that's the exchange rate in a lot of these. That's kind of a tongue-in-cheek thing. But yeah, I'd trade it for an AK, stand up on an apple crate, and then try and incite something and become that part of South America's first Anglo-Saxon warlord.
Well, would you try and jack a car?
Yeah, once I've got my AK, I'll be doing anything I want.
Yeah, sure.
That's the thing about AKs.
What unless they've got one. And they've got the AK in the car, or glove box gun, which is Trot's favourite.
I guess we find out that day if it's the end of Warlord Smaffy's story, you know?
Yeah.
But I guess, if anything, you'd just be unravelling the reason you're there, and it might just devolve into some sort of crazy gun-fueled drug fest.
Maybe I'm happy I don't remember. You know, maybe I'm forgetting. Yeah. Maybe I'm trying to forget, you know.
I'm finally at peace.
Sweet, now I'm staying here. Finally become a warlord.
Yeah. And then you just try and get a local job there and stay there. That's
the whole reason you paid to forget was because you were a horrible drug addict warlord in the past.
Can't escape my warlord ways.
You gave guns to kids and stuff, and you're like, I need to forget all these horrible things I've done. And you just go straight back to it.
Back to Warlord. That'd be a good film.
Minutes in. You're looking for an AK.
And then eventually you start seeing like all this promotional media with your face on. You're like, oh, sweet, somebody's already made this. Nice. And then you realize, hold on, this...
Yeah. You're that guy.
This mansion has a flag with my face on it over the top and two crossed AKs. And then another sign that says, free opium for all willing kids.
Wow.
Not because I want to do anything with them, but because I want them to fight for us. I feel like I should clarify. This is a drug soldier thing. Opium is the currency. Nothing weird, all right? Just some run-of-the-mill 12-year-olds.
Nothing weird.
High on opium, knocking over a few haystacks, all right? And...
Eternal sunshine of
a lot more amenable
warlord's mind. Warlord's
mind,
just, so you've tried to forget, but then you just slip back into it.
Oh, I can't forget.
It's second nature to you.
You can take the warlord out of South America, but you can't take South America. No, that's wrong. Anyway, that's what I'd do.
So there's a good chance hearing, distant gunfire and like kids running with like a whole platoon of kids running in the distance, kicking up a dirt trail with guns wielding. I'm like sat on a dirt floor, just putting a picture of a globe on a piece of A4 with a Pritt stick. We've got very different ways of approaching this.
He jumped into action. I was desperately trying to find a phone number, trying to say help or where am I,
which is offending everyone.
Who am I? Trying to gauge any kind of language from these people who are just like shrugging because they don't know what I'm saying. But no, I will take up a job, and I think I'll just peacefully live there and eventually pick up the language over many years. When you guys come to rescue me, I won't want to leave.
When I knock down
I've made a new life now.
You come in, I'm just there, just holding, you know, the basket of fruit, selling them on the street. Maybe I've got a shawl on, and I'm just like, I'm ready. I'm living here now. This is my thing.
I'm going to be knocking down your door to take you out, Ross. A spray of AK, you wake loudly.
I remember! I scream, I remember, and then I get killed.
Trot's there, fuck! In a loose straw-filled mattress on top of it. Wait, as I burst in the door, he's like, pulls the sheet over himself.
He's covered in cuttings and bits of paper all over the floor.
I'll take your fuck boy. And then Ross.
Now I remember. What was the point of all of this?
Wait, I used to be addicted to opium.
Same. Used to be. Same. Weird.
Not again.
Really weird how that happened.
Just bashed about the door. Who wants opium?
God, that's what I wanted. That's what I wanted.
Oh, man.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Anyway, that's the answer to that question on Patreon. Thank you.
It's quite open-ended. That one, a lot could have happened.
A lot has happened and probably will happen as a result. So there we go. Patreon. Do we have any funny news of the week? I know it's difficult.
I found one
currently.
Story, which was... I don't know even if it's really that funny, but there's... It looks funny because there's a nice little picture of the dog. So it says, town living in fear of a pair of chihuahuas that even bullied a police dog. A pair of chihuahuas. If you're not familiar with what a chihuahua is, it's a tiny little yapping... would you say it's short-haired? Yeah, short-haired dog with big ears.
They can be long-haired.
They can.
They're
be
named
long-haired,
after the region of Mexico they're from. Yeah, right? There's a place
they're
called
tiny
Chihuahua.
Bulging eyes and tiny little mouth.
They're quite cute.
They are very cute, but then when they start yapping, you realize why you don't want one. A historic market town is under siege by a pair of hooligan chihuahuas who have been ganging up on other pets. How is this an article, though? I mean, really, like, the way this begins.
But
this is a stock image, yeah. The two dogs are so unpleasant, a former police German shepherd was attacked by the dogs and is scared of them. Who reported this as a thing? I'm sorry, this is I don't feel like... this is in Corsham, Wiltshire. This is really close. Fairly close to us, guys.
That's the thing about dogs, though, right? Like, size doesn't actually come into it for most dogs. Like,
dogs don't give a shit.
They can't understand.
Yeah, like that. But also, like, some large dogs will genuinely be cowed by smaller dogs because there's this subconscious language that we don't understand, I think, of like, some dogs are just like, I'm really willing to fuck shit up. And other dogs are like, I'm really not that bothered.
We see a Great Dane all the time up near Queen Square. And it's a big fucking dog. Great Danes are huge, like horses.
Yeah.
And it plays with Murphy like it's a little puppy. So it's bounding around. Its front legs are like jumping up, and like Murphy gets trampled by it sometimes. he's fine. He plays along, but like this dog doesn't realize how big it is. And I think that's maybe the situation with these chihuahuas as well. But apparently, councillors received several complaints about the dogs. Said I got a call from a resident who'd had a very unpleasant encounter where they were off the leash, which already is quite shocking to have those such small dogs
off
the leash in
these
the high
streets.
Corsham's a lovely place, isn't it?
It's a very very kind of country house, kind of old school.
What Americans think all of England looks like.
Yeah, essentially.
In this image, you can also see that there is no one outside because they are all cowering in fear in their
of
homes.
Of the menace.
The chihuahuas prowl the streets. Yeah.
I'm so confused how this managed to earn itself an article at all. But anyway, Dr. Jeffrey O'Dwyer described them as bloody Mexican hooligans, which almost seems racist, really.
That is against a the little,
bloody
yeah.
Mexican hooligans.
Well, the council's concerned about livestock. I don't
know.
We're concerned
about livestock.
Chihuahuas. I don't know.
Bite the ankles of sheep, I guess, is probably the most damage they can do.
Scaring, like, a herd somewhere, maybe?
Yeah.
Where are they going, other than the high street that they're, like,
why
scared
Mexican?
Because the chihuahua's a Mexican breed of dog.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
But it still seems odd to have mentioned it, doesn't it? If in a lambing field, please keep to the paths and your dog on a leash.
I can see that.
They're
out there.
Not how the sheep see it. But when they're spooked, the ewe and lamb can become separated and they can't find each other. And it's leading to the lamb's death. So these dogs are responsible for lamb's deaths.
Yeah.
But so are we, in a way.
Yeah, fair. I mean, many.
Yes.
The problem with lambs and the problem with keeping sheep in general is you are constantly battling, as Clarkson's farm showed, against their own stupidity. You know,
of course,
because, like, you know, you spook lambs and ewes. Oh yeah, they're not going to get back together. That means all the ewes die. You know, you chase the sheep off and they've all jumped into a ditch. You know, like But I mean, Jesus, just put them on a leash, I guess, is the solution here. Be a responsible dog owner usually is the solution, right?
Yeah.
It's frustrating.
It ends with them just saying that they keep running wild and spooking the sheep. So just put a leash on it. This feels like it should have been a letter to the owner of the dog.
Rather than
the top story on the Metro.
Yeah.
Which just seems bizarre. But I mean, I've read it out. So there you go. You all had to hear it. There you go. The rest of them are all kind of just like, meh. Or like, man jailed for battering stranger with seagull, which we covered last week.
We did cover that. So.
Yeah, we did. But
we're
it's
already
important to
heartily.
Let people know about these animal threats. And we should start
avoid Corsham.
We could get several high-powered rifles and just go and alleviate the Corsham menace. You know, we can become like vigilantes. Like,
or we could go the other way and become the dog whisperers and train them really well.
Oh, and turn them into our own weapon.
This is just another form of being a warlord, Smith.
It's another form, yeah.
You just want guns and you want to cause some chaos.
Go to Corsham with weapons.
Yeah, basically.
And then there'll be opium and kids, and then it'll be a nightmare. Anyway,
sheep.
Nothing gets him to fight. Oh,
he's got
a bear. It's only a little one, though.
What's
the bear doing?
Looking at a bear, looking at a Mercedes.
It's opening a car door. That's amazing.
Oh, wait.
Whoa.
He's startled.
He's like, whoa. Whoa, hold on. I didn't park here.
Hold on, this is my vehicle. Oh, did he set the alarm off?
I think you set the alarm off.
Okay, panic. I didn't hear the audio.
How human was that?
So these are the chihuahuas that they're having to deal with.
Yeah,
they're the big chihuahuas.
Open
the car door. That's impressive.
Apparently, the bear was being shouted at by people.
Of course, that's fair enough. Yeah, because there have been cases.
Bears are pretty skittish.
I've seen some videos of bears being inside the car. And then they've kind of closed it in because they didn't know what to do. So then there's just a bear in the car tearing up the seat.
Just tearing up the upholstery.
Like, kind of confused looking bear who just wants to get out again.
Curse these bear hands, I can't grip the wheel.
But you also see those videos of like occasionally like a cougar like at the window and like a little cat like staring it down. It's just like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Just your one thin bit of glass between.
You're a lot bigger than me.
Your house cat.
But they know as well. Like they know that like, this is like a force field. Like I'd love to know what's going through their mind where they're just like.
Yeah, cats are very sure of themselves. They know what they're doing. I mean, Trot, you'll find out. You've got yours coming soon, haven't you?
Yeah.
I do have a cat coming soon.
It's going to be very sure of itself.
I don't think it's cougar sized. It's going to be pretty close.
Oh, really? Maine Coon, isn't it?
Pretty big. Yeah, they're big. It's going to be bigger than Mochi, I think, which is insane.
I think that's great.
It's probably a good balance, smaller dog,
it's like it switches up the norms a bit. It challenges some norms, doesn't it? Where, you know, you're like, normally the dog is bigger and is the boy, and normally the cat is smaller and is the girl. Right?
Yeah.
Both girls.
Let's just hope we don't walk on them doing something untoward. Maybe they'll like each other too much.
Maybe, but then you'll get a cat dog, and I mean, who doesn't want a cat dog?
Cock.
I know, exactly.
Or a cock.
It was a very successful Nickelodeon series for a short period of time in my youth.
Yeah, you were like, damn, if we can make this work. And it doesn't look anything really like a cat or a dog. It looks like a sausage with legs.
There was no poop hole for the cat dog. There was no.
I'm
going to take a shit. Can you gag this up? Yeah, sure.
It's kind of just like, they never covered that in the cartoon, which I feel like that was my main question as a child.
There's a great really documentary about that, Ross. If you look,
there's a documentary. What about
Human
cat
Centipede? About the.
Of course.
The practical. The implication of you know, having multiple linked digestive systems.
Well, they sorted out the digestive system, though, didn't they? Unlike cat dog, this is like version 2.0.
Mm. This is a working model. Yeah, they've actually done human trials.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good
on. There's only so long you could live on someone else's poop, I suppose.
Well, we're endeavouring
to
find out.
We don't need to go into it. Well, we should find out.
Guys, I've got to say, can you just lay off the red meat a bit? Because it's been really difficult this week to try,
and
get through.
Sorry about
Maybe
that.
Eat some like stronger curry flavors or something. Just
something spicy, something to really. Just I need any kind of kick to get rid of this.
Yeah,
hot sauce.
Like, I'm having
spices.
To put so much
Let's
hot sauce
out.
On it. Just
Let's clear us out.
Still tastes nice. Like human shit.
Jeez, what an idea.
Man. Impossible
anyway.
Burger. We've just shaped it into burgers.
Oh God. Well, that's a dystopic future where we.
It's difficult to get a good fry.
It's really disgusting. Oh my God.
Anyway, we'll call it there. Thank you to, again, our Patreon supporters for Indeed. Kindly making this a nice weekly thing and picking the hypotheticals for us. Thank you also to October Stan for the wonderful synthwave Fingal. If you want to send a Fingal in, please email it to us, hatchat@hat-films.com. Yeah. Please do. That would be much appreciated. Thank you.
Or maybe you sent one in a long time ago that you think was really good and
that
we
one
missed
was.
It. Because sometimes, to be honest, we do miss some of them. So if you wanted to resend it, go for it.
Please do, because I am trawling right now.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Thank
Should we just
you
say
for...
that if we don't like it, Trot will reply and tell you he doesn't like it as well?
I don't like this one. No. Next.
If I prefer it to be a video message, you just say blankly, it's not for me.
Like a video of him listening to it, like, oh, no, that's shit.
Ooh,
that is shit.
It's just Chris Trott, Simon Cowell mode.
Oh,
dog shit. Awful. Sorry, mate. take that single and shove it back up your ass.
So, yeah, please send that in and I will critique it harshly. But fairly.
Yeah.
It's very fair.
And then
very harsh.
Hopefully you'll appear in the next episode next
Indeed.
Week on Friday.
I've enjoyed some of the ones
listening.
Where they've utilised quotes. That's quite
inventive. That's
funny. I like that. It's good.
That is funny. There you go. A request. Yeah. And we'll see you next Friday, everybody. Have a great
Indeed.
Week. Stay safe out there, especially if you're in Wiltshire.
Yeah.
You know?
There are more dangerous places to be wary of, but yeah. caution.
Yeah. Wiltshire in particular, though.
Wiltshire's, yeah, not bad, yeah. Which I just probably get hit by a Range Rover or something.
Is your two chihuahuas.
Or too lethal.
The Range Rover's being chased by the chihuahuas.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, God! They're escaping. It's like Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
Right. Goodbye, everybody. Have a great time. Enjoy this Fingal.
See you later. Bye.